اللي هو يعني احنا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. أنا أحسن الله إليك.
الله يسلمك. How are you? We are late.
نعم يا
Are we
شيخ، أنا
going?
أحسن الله إليك.
Can we go on?
نعم يا
I
شيخ.
mean, طيب.
نعم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book on these days is Kitab al-Kaba'ir by Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmad rahimahullah, and we are on al-Kabiratu al-Rabi'ah, the fourth major sin that he has mentioned in this book. He started with al-Shirku billah. Then he mentioned Qatlun Nafs. Then he mentioned As-Sihr. These are great evils from the evils that Allah has promised us that if we abstain from these evils, He will admit us into Al-Jannah and forgive the rest of our sins. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Tajtanibu kaba'irama tunhauna anhu. نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه. If you avoid these كبائر. So Al-Imam al-Zahabi seeks to make us understand one after the other the كبائر. He has mentioned about 70 of them with the verses of the Quran and the ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that points to a sin being from the kabair. So he started with a shirk, then he mentioned qatlun nafs, taking a soul, committing murder, and then he mentioned as-sihr, witchcraft, and sorcery. Then we came to tarkus salah, that a person abandons salah. We had read a number of verses from the Quran that showed that salat is compulsory for the Muslim. Allah commanded us in many places in the Quran to observe salah, aqimus salah, aqimus salah. Such that to abandon the establishment of salah is a big disobedience to Allah. In Surah Al-Ma'un, from the surahs that from the verses that Allah, Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned Allah's prohibiting abandoning salah. Allah said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned this in this book under the chapter heading, تَرْكُ salah. That's where we are. He mentioned that verse where Allah seriously prohibited that a person should abandon salah. He said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So let there be woe on those who abandon their salah. Here, yes, it appears musallun, as if to say everyone who observes the salah. But it becomes clearer in the verses that follow. Who are those that are due for wail? Who are those that are accursed in this first verse amongst the group of people who pray? Musalloon are those who observe Salah. So amongst those who observe Salah, who amongst them are those that Allah is angry with and He has declared wail against them? It says, Alladhina hum an salatihim sahun. Those, yani alladhina hum yuakhirunaha an waqtiha. Those who delay the salat away from its time. So they will not observe the salah at its time. And the salah is kitabam mawquta, an obligation that is time specific. So when they delay the salah away from the time, they are disobeying Allah regarding salah. So two things are there about establishing salah. Establishing salah properly, as it should be observed, following its obligations, its wajibat. Before that, observing a shurut, the conditions, following its arkan, its pillars, following its wajibat, following its sunan in the salah. When you do this, accomplish salah, you're establishing salah in addition to observing that salah at its time. So Allah said, Alladhina hum an salatihim sahun. Those who are nonchalant about their salah. So they would delay the salah away from the time that has been prescribed for it. These are the people for whom Allah said, Fawailun lil musallin. Woe be upon them. It shows that abandoning salah away from its time is from the deeds that bring an individual to the fire. May Allah protect us from his fire. After mentioning these verses, Al-Imam al-Zahabi came to mention 12 ahadith under this chapter, Al-Kabiratu al-Rabi'ah. Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned 12 ahadith to prove that tarku salah, abandoning salah, not observing salah to at its time, delaying the salah away from its time, or even completely abandoning the salah and not performing salat at all. This one is from the aspects of kufr that completely expels a person from Islam. He completely abandons salah, not believing that it is compulsory, not feeling that he has any obligation with Allah to observe salah. This is kufr. May Allah protect us from this evil. But as for being lazy, as for being finding it difficult because of nonchalance and all of these, he would observe Salatul Fajri before he leaves his house. And then he would observe Salatul Zuhur, Asr, and Maghrib in the night, before Salatul Isha or after Salatul Isha. This is what exactly we talk about when we say Fawailun lil Musallin. This is an act of sin, and it is from the Kaba'ir. Anybody who wants to peacefully and honorable, gain an honorable entrance into Al-Jannah, must avoid observing Salah in this manner. Observing Salatul Fajr and delaying Zuhur up to the time of Maghrib and Isha, or even late night, 9 p.m., or even not observing Zuhur, Asr, and Maghrib and Isha until the other time for Salatul Fajr, such that the man would only observe Salatul Fajri alone. I have met somebody like this before. I have met somebody like this. He would not observe Salatul Fajr. He would observe Salatul Fajr. He will not observe Salatul Zuhur. He will abandon Asr, Maghrib, Isha. If I invite him, we're together at the time. If I invite him, let's go and make Salah. I said, I will not pray. I'll pray later. You go. Pray for us to be able to pray. So he will not observe Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. When I return, I will press him. I will encourage him. Sometimes we quarrel over it. Observe Salah, my friend. Observe Salah. I would encourage him. We fought over it. Today, this person is a kafir. That was why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he warned us repeatedly in Hadith 28 here. Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned this Hadith. العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة، فمن تركها فقد كفر. That which is between we, the people of Islam, one Muslim and another Muslim, is Salah. When a person abandons the Salah, he has abandoned the covenant between himself and the rest of his brothers who are Muslims. He has abandoned the tie of being a Muslim, that tie, that connection, that agreement that this is my Muslim brother, that ahad. Just like two countries or a citizen from a country will get an ahad, will get a pact from another country never to be caused harm. You don't worry, you are in safe hands. We will protect you. You can come to our country, we'll give you security and all of this. Maybe the two countries were even at war. They now sent him as an errand to go and deliver a message. So he comes under that agreement, under that pact. That person will not be touched because he has an ahad, like the mu'ahad or mu'ahid. He has an agreement with us never to touch him. So this is how a Muslim is as far as he's observing Salah. When he abandons Salah, he has abandoned that pact. So that was why he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. The one who abandons Salah has abandoned that pact between himself and the rest of the Muslims. The same thing we had in Hadith number 29, both of them from the Hadith of Burayda ibn al-Husayb. We read these narrations in the last class. Burayda ibn al-Husayb, radiyallahu anhu al-Aslami, he reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, man fatathu salatul asri habita amaluhu. Man fatathu salatul asri habita amaluhu. The one who Salatul Asr misses, and we explained in the last class, when does Salatul Asr miss an individual? Salatul Asr will miss an individual when the time for Salatul Asr reaches, the individual does not observe Salatul Asr. He begins to delay until the sky, the sun becomes reddish, ihmirar al-shams, or isfirar al-shams. At that time, it becomes blameworthy not to have observed Salatul Asri without an impending reason, like what? Like As-Safar, like what? Al-Marad, because that time is called Waqtul Ittirar, the time when it is those under Barura who should observe Salatul Asr, and their Salatul Asr is accepted. But for those who are not busy at all, to leave observing Salatul Asr until up till the time that the sky becomes reddish or yellowish, deep yellowish, this is a sinful act. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to it as Salatul Munafiqeen, Salatul Munafiqeen, Salatul Munafiqeen. It's a tilka Salatul Munafiqeen. That is the Salah of the hypocrites. So they are blameworthy. That blameworthiness makes us understand that they have actually missed the time for Salatul Asri. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, man fatathu Salatul Asri, the one that is missed by Salatul Asri. He doesn't miss Salah. Who is he that he will miss out Salatul Asri? It is Salatul Asri that throws him away. He is the one who becomes unfortunate to have abandoned not praying, to have abandoned praying at the time. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man fatathu salatul asri habita amalu, his deeds will be destroyed. And there were a lot of explanations. Some of the scholars say all his deeds, like he becomes a kafir. Some say no, it is that deed that he was doing that prevents him from coming to salatul asr that becomes destroyed by Allah. Others say it is that Salatul Asr. He must observe it, even though he may not get the full rewards for it. And so on, different explanations. A similar hadith regarding Salatul Asri was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, الذي تفوته صلاة العصر كأنما وتر أهله وماله. The one that Salatul Asr misses, he leaves observing Salatul Asri. He is not sick. He is not unwell. He is not upon a journey. He is not held back in Darura, like someone who was tied down under a kidnap. May Allah protect us all. He is not under on any Darura, yet he leaves observing Salatul Asr until the sky becomes reddish. This kind of a person, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, ka'annama wutira ahlahu, is like a person who has lost the entirety of his family and his wealth. And the ulama say this means that the loss of a person loses his wife, he loses his children, his parents perhaps, and then the entire property that he has. What kind of sadness would have engulfed that person? You see, that's a big fitna. If you say a house got burnt, the man's wife was burnt, his children were burnt, the house itself got burnt, all his savings in his life, he had been saving it in the house, it got burnt. The one who misses Salatul Asr has worse than that, or similar to that. May Allah protect us. So it is not appropriate to abandon Salah. It means that abandoning Salah, not observing Salat at its time, is from the Kabair. Not observing Salat at its time is from the Kabair. In Hadith 30, from the Hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, بين العبد وبين الشرك ترك الصلاة. بين العبد وبين الشرك ترك الصلاة. That is, between the servant and shirk is abandoning salah. What does that mean? That is, what stands الذي يمنعه من الكفر. الذي يمنع كفره. What prevents his deen in kufr is salah. If he abandons salah, he finds himself in kufr. We gave the explanations of two well-known scholars from the scholars of Hadith. One of them was Al-Imam Ibn Hibban, and the second was Al-Imam Al-Shawkani rahimahullah. Al-Imam Al-Shawkani said, Al-Hadith yadullu ala anna tarka salati min mujibati al-kufr. Al-Hadith, this Hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, بين العبد وبين الشرك ترك الصلاة. That between the servant and shirk is that he abandons salat. This hadith يدل على أن ترك الصلاة. It shows that abandoning salah من موجبات الكفر is from those things that brings the individual into kufr. It will carry the individual into kufr. I just give us an example of someone. We were in university together around 1993. He did not used to observe salah except Salatul Fajr. And that Fajr, he will not observe it until 7 a.m. when he wakes up. He wakes up around 7. I will wake him when I go to the masjid for Salatul Fajr, but he will not stand up. He would be disturbing me. In fact, he used to kick me with his legs when I wake him up for Fajr. But when he wakes up for Fajr, he will quickly have his bath, quickly observe 2 units of Fajr before he comes out for classes. So we go out for lectures. And on the days that, like Saturdays and Sundays, we were not out for lectures, we begin to go to the masjid to study. We usually study in the masjid. This man will not go with us. He prefers to go to classroom to study. So he will not observe Dhuhr. He will not observe Asr. He will not observe Maghrib nor Isha. So if I come and say, have you observed Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha? In fact, sometimes he shuns me. He says, why is it that it is all about Salat that you ask me? I knew where he was going to. Because abandoning Salat leads to kufr. The one who leaves Salah, he soon gets into kufr. This is what Al-Imam al-Shawkani said, that when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that bayn al-abdi wa bayn al-shirki tarku salam, that which stops an individual from getting into kufr is salat. If he becomes abandoning salah, he gets into kufr. He said, yadullu ala anna tarka salati min mujibat, yujibul kufr. What does yujib? It necessitates that the person gets into. Lastly, it is compulsory. As long as he's abandoning salah, he will certainly become a kafir. May Allah protect us from this evil. In hadith number 31, Jabir also, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with Jabir and his father Abdullah, he reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why in hadith 31, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, wa anhu, yani wa an Jabirin. Jabir radiallahu anhuma also reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the salatu and salam, it appears that wa anhu here refers to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Yani wa an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام من ترك الصلاة متعمدا فقد برئت منه ذمة الله من ترك الصلاة متعمدا فقد برئت منه ذمة الله. This hadith is a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari رضي الله عنه. In it the Prophet said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من ترك الصلاة متعمدا, whoever deliberately abandons a salah. Salat al-Zuhur, they shout, حيا على الصلاة, حيا على الصلاة, حيا على الفلاح. And then he rejects coming to the masjid. He heard, he knew it was time for salah. Or he was even nonchalant whether it was time for salah or not. He doesn't care. And so he becomes that he has abandoned Salat al-Zuhur. And the time for Salat al-Zuhur starts from when the sun descends from the horizon. Zawal al-Shams. And it continues until the image on the of the individual becomes like his height on the ground. This is the time range for Salat al-Zuhur. He abandons all of these. So it becomes the time for Salatul Asr, they also call the Adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Someone said, you have not observed Zuhur. He said, I don't need to observe Zuhur. This kind of an individual. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man taraka salata muta'amidan, whoever abandons the Salah deliberately, he knowingly abandons the Salah, he is not held back in a darura, is not held back in a journey, is not held back in a sickness. No darura. Muta'ammidan taraka salata. Deliberately he abandons the salah. Faqad bari'at minhu zimmatullah. This kind of a person, he has become freed. Allah's protection has become free from him. Allah's protection has become withdrawn from him. Allah's protection goes off him. What is that protection? The protection of being a Muslim, that the Muslim gets with Allah and with the rest of the human beings. This dhimma, this protection that the Muslim gets as a Muslim with Allah, what is that? The protection that he will not put him in Jahannam. The protection that I will help you in this dunya. The protection is that your life and your property are protected from the rest of the people. May Allah protect all of us. This protection becomes withdrawn from him. Why? Taraka salata muta'amidan. He deliberately abandons salah. So it is not lawful at all, and it is from the kabair. And that verse in Surah Al-Ma'un. Surah Al-Ma'un is really scary. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. This is as-sahu fi salah. This is as-sahu ani salah. Abandoning salah. As-sahu fi salah happens to us. That is, you are in salat, you make two rak'at instead of three, You make four rakats instead of three. You make five rakats instead of four. This is as-sahyu. This as-sahyu is salah. Lakin as-sahyu anis salah. This is the one that implies abandoning salah away from the time that it is prescribed, or even observing that salah without any kind of attention. There are some of the people, they pray as if it's a privilege they are offering Allah or the rest of the Muslims. So when they are corrected that they have observed salah incorrectly, you hear them saying that you are not even happy that I prayed at all. All these kinds of expressions are no less than a pure show of some ignorance and empty arrogance towards the people and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said, as we have in this hadith, hadith 31, from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu, that man taraka salata muta'ammidan, whoever deliberately abandons the salah, whoever abandons the salah muta'ammidan, knowingly, deliberately, faqad bari'at minhu zimmatullah, Allah's protection, Allah's guarantee for him becomes withdrawn. Allah's guarantee for that individual becomes taken away. He loses Allah's guarantee for him. Why? Taraka salata muta'ammidan. That is why when you see people who don't pray, they don't observe salah, it doesn't take much time before they declare that they are kufar. Why? Zimmatullahi, Allah's guidance and protection on them has left them. So you see them in zina, you see them drinking alcohol, you see them spending money for halots, you see them doing just what they like. Why? They have abandoned salah, and they are also abandoned. They abandoned salah, they became abandoned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this evil. This hadith, hadith number 31, was reported by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Nasrin al-Marwazi in his book Ta'zim Qadri Salah, and it has a lot of mutaba'at and shawahid, corroborating and supporting evidences that makes us understand that the hadith is sahih. And some of the scholars like Al-Imam Al-Albani rates this hadith sahih in his book Irwal Ghalil Rahimahullah. After stating the hadith, Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi said, Qalahu makhulun an Abi Dharrin. This hadith, makhulun al-Shami, one of the scholars of Sham, reported it, an Abi Dharrin, from Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari, walam yudrikhu, but makhul did not meet Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari, which shows that the chain is broken. But like we said, this hadith, this isnad here, stated here, is as in Ta'zimu Qadri Salah by Al-Imam Al-Marwazi Muhammad ibn Nasrin Al-Marwazi. Muhammad ibn Nasrin Al-Marwazi was a very learned person close to the time of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He used to be compared with him. Muhammad ibn Nasr ibn al-Marwazi used to be compared with Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in terms of his knowledge and firmness upon the Sunnah. Rahimahumullah. But like we said, the hadith has shawahid and mutaba'at, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad bari'at minhu zimmatullah. Whoever deliberately abandons salat, bari'at minhu zimmatullah, Allah's guarantee becomes taken away from him. So he abandons salah, he also becomes abandoned. May Allah protect us. In hadith number 32, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah said, وَقَالَ عُمَرُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ also said, أما إنه لا حظ لأحد في الإسلام أضاع الصلاة. Umar رضي الله عنه, the second Khalifa after the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, أمير المؤمنين, Umar ibn al-Khattab, رضي الله عنه أبو حفص رضي الله عنه. He said, Ama, this is from the Adatos, Istiftah. It's like saying Allah. So you can say it means that the attention of the people are drawn towards what I want to say. So the same way he can say Allah, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, inna fil jasadi mudgako. The same way he said here, Umar radiallahu anhu said here, Ama, is listening. Is from the expressions with which Arabs start their statements. So here Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ama innahu la hazza li ahadin fil islami adha'a as-salah. La hazza, yani la nasiba li ahadin. No one has a share of Islam. The one who abandons salah, adha'a as-salah. The one who abandons salah or perform the salah as he likes. Umar said, radiallahu anhu, la hazza li ahadin fil Islam. There is no one who has a share of Islam. If he does not have a share of Islam, who is he? If a person is bereft of a share in Islam, who is he? He does not have any share in Islam. So what is he? So that's why we've repeatedly studied, the scholars have mentioned, from the doors that opens from Islam into kufr is abandoning salah. Once you abandon salah, you have entered that door. May Allah protect us. If he does not clearly enter the door, he will be knocking on the door. Those who knock on this door of kufr, they are those who observe the salah as they like, sometimes on, sometimes off. But when you completely abandon salah, you don't observe salah. You are called on to it, say, no, I will not observe. Why are you disturbing me? Salat, is it compulsory? You start arguing that salat is compulsory. You're already behind the door. May Allah protect us from this evil. So, but if the person is still just observing morning, no evening, or evening, no morning, Zuhur, Asr, no Isha, Isha, no Fajr, Fajr, no Isha, no Zuhur, all of these, this is also from the aspects of Ida'atu Salah. But it is not from the aspects of the one that expels a person from Islam. The one that expels the individual is he completely abandons it, denying that it's even compulsory, arguing that it's even compulsory, but one leads to the other. The first one leads to this one. And this one completely leads people out of Islam. Even those who you find out today, they begin to talk about atheism. They usually start with abandoning salah. They sleep off the time of salah. Then Allah's guarantee becomes withdrawn from them. Shaitan takes over them. They begin to say nonsense. May Allah protect us. Umar radiallahu anhu, this hadith we read to us is from the hadith of Al-Miswar ibn al-Makhrama radiallahu anhu. Miswar ibn al-Makhrama was from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Umar was stabbed, radiallahu anhu, we knew that Umar was coming for salah. He started the salah, and one of the people had prepared a dagger to stab him, Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, who was a carpenter under Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He was a carpenter. The man was a fire worshipper. He was brought in. So he feigned to have accepted Islam. In fact, there were reports on why was it that he decided to stab Umar, radiallahu anhu. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. This man feigned to have accepted Islam. He came to observe the salah. He had soaked his dagger in a poison before bringing it. Umar, radiallahu anhu, was in salah. This man stabbed Umar in his tummy. And the blood was gushing out of Umar's tummy, radiallahu anhu. So Umar was carried, the man was arrested, and then Abdurrahman ibn Auf completed that salah. So Umar, radiallahu anhu, was in this condition. They were attending to him when Miswar ibn Makhrama and Abdullah ibn Abbas came to visit Umar. Radiallahu anhu, it was the time of Salatul Fajr. Radiallahu anhu, Umar was ill. Blood was still oozing out of him, but he had not died. radiyallahu anhu. So they came to Umar radiyallahu anhu, and Miswar ibn Makhrama was waking up Umar for Salatul Fajr. Ikhwa, head of the Muslims, was stabbed. Blood was still oozing out of his wound. One of the people of Islam, one of his followers, Miswar ibn Makhrama, came in with Abdullah ibn Abbas. They were both age mates. Miswar ibn Makhrama was born in the second year of Hijrah. That means that when the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Miswar was about 9 years old. And when the Prophet died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Abbas was about 12 years old. So you see the age bracket. So at the time of Umar, count 2 years of Abu Bakr into their age. Count it to the 9 years of Miswar. You have 11 years. Umar spent 8 years in Khilafah. So 8 years plus 11, 19. So at that time, when this incident happened, Miswar ibn Makhrama was about 19 years old to 20 years old. He came to wake up Umar radiallahu anhu for Salatul Fajr. So he woke up Umar radiallahu anhu, saying that it's time for Salatul Fajr. And Umar woke up radiallahu anhu. When he woke up, the first thing he said was, Innahu la hadhu li ahadin fil Islam ya Abu Abdullah. The man who was ill, who was stabbed, blood was still gushing out from his wound. Yet he was woken up for Salatul Fajr. That statement, he said it to push himself. If a person does not observe Salatul Fajr, what is he doing inside Islam? He soon gets into kufr. May Allah protect all of us. That was why he said, "Ama innahu la hazza li ahadin fil islami adha as-salah." There is no portion inside Islam for a person who abandons salah. So meaning I cannot abandon my salah. If I abandon my salah, then what is left of me inside my Islam if I don't abandon salah? The scholar said at this time, Salla Umaru radiyallahu anhu, wajurhuhu yath'abu, wajurhuhu yath'abu. He radiyallahu anhu stood up to observe the salah. Umar observed the salah. Wajurhuhu yath'abu daman. His injury, yath'abu, and yadfuk, yes, it was pumping blood. His injury was still releasing blood. Yet he stood up, radiallahu anhu, to observe salah. Because of the stab, the injury was still releasing blood. Yet Umar, radiallahu anhu, stood up to observe salah. Because he said, radiallahu anhu, La hadha li ahadin fil islami adha salah. What is the portion remaining for a person? Nothing. No portion exists for a person when he abandons salah. What is the portion left for him inside Islam? So you can see how so important observing the salah is and how so dangerous it is for a person to abandon salah. Don't forget, abandoning salah involves two things: not observing the salah properly and not observing the salah at its time. Now, if the person observes the salah properly and he does not observe the salah at its time, called Abu Salah, you have also abandoned the salah. If he observes it at its time and he does not observe it correctly, he has also abandoned salah. Ikhwa, learn salah. Ikhwa, learn salah. Brothers, sisters, let us learn salah. Learning salah involves two things: learning how to observe the salah correctly, and then learning how to observe the salah at its correct time with the rest of the Muslims in the masjid. If you are a male, if you are females in the deepest part of your room alone, if you observe it with other Muslims too, it is lawful and okay. But as females, the best place for their salah is the most private place in their home. So, ikhwa, let us pay attention to salah. Learn how to observe the salah correctly. This athar of Umar radiallahu anhu is collected by Al-Imam ibn Abi Shayba. It was reported by Al-Imam Abdul Razak ibn Hammam al-San'ani. Al-Imam ibn Sa'd also reported it in his Tabaqat. And Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, we spoke about him in the last hadith too. He also mentioned it in his book. He wrote about Salah. He titled the book, Ta'zeemu Qadri Salah, mentioning the mightiness, the high place of the rank of Salah. Salah has a rank, huge, big rank before Allah. So he gathered in it a hadith and the verses of the Quran and athar from the companions radiallahu anhu that shows that Salat is not something to play with or to abandon. It mentions the punishment for those who abandon Salah. May Allah protect all of us. That occurs in Ta'zeemu Qadri Salah by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Nasrin al-Marwazi. Rahimahullah. In Hadith number 33 that Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned, Rahimahullah, in this book, Al-Kabair, under Al-Kabira al-Rabi'ah, the fourth Kabira amongst the Kabair that Al-Imam al-Zahabi said. He said, وَقَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ النَّخَعِي. Ibrahim al-Nakhai is Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhai from the scholars of Kufa. He was well known from amongst the scholars of Hadith and Fiqh. Ibn Yazid al-Nakhai was from the Hadith, from the scholars of Hadith and Fiqh. He was not a scholar of Lugha at all. Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhai was not a scholar of Lugha at all. But as for Fiqh and Hadith, he was well known from amongst the authorities in both fields, in the fields of Hadith and in the fields of Fiqh. He said, Rahimahullah, Man taraka as-salata faqad kafara. Just like that Hadith of Jabir, Bayna al-rajuli wa bayna al-shirki wal-kufri tarku as-salah. Here he says, Man taraka as-salata faqad kafara. Anyone who abandons salah, he has disbelieved. This athar, this report can be understood from two angles. Man taraka as-salata, whoever abandons salah, in the sense that he will abandon fajr, he will abandon duhur, Asr, Maghrib, he will pray Isha alone. Or he will abandon Asr, he will pray Maghrib and Isha. Or he will pray Fajr and Dhuhr, he will abandon like that. He takes whatever he wants, or that he delays whatever he wants. This is Tarku Salat. So when he said Fakad Kafara, this Kufur here is Kufurun Duna Kufr. It's Kufurun Duna Kufrin. What it means is that this kufur shows that the sin is very grievous before Allah. But it's not the kufur that expels a person from Islam. The Quran employs similar expressions. The ahadith employed similar expressions in many places. Look at what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Sibabul Muslim Fusuk, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Hadith occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. He said, Sibabul Muslimi fusuk wa kitaluhu kufrun. Abusing, cursing, and insulting a Muslim is fisk, criminal. He said, wa kitaluhu, fighting him is kufr. Fighting him is disbelief. The kufr that it means, the meaning here is that the serious major sin. We are also coming back to this in this book, Al-Kabair. But the point that made me to mention this is that merely saying kufur does not mean that it is the kufur that expels a person from Islam. We remember when the Quran told us in Suratul Hujurat, about two Muslims who quarrel, and yet he still says, فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُتَتَلُوا. Yet he says, وَكِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. So it means they are still people of Iman. It only shows that fighting, two Muslims fighting, is a serious, grievous offense from amongst the Kabair. So the first meaning of the statement of Al-Imam al-Nakhai here, Ibrahim ibn Yazid, is that man taraka salat faqad kafara. Whoever abandons salah is committing this serious, grievous offense. That is, if he has not done other more than merely abandoning the salah from one time to the other, praying some, not praying some, and all of these kinds of attitude. But if he becomes so serious that he doesn't even believe that it is necessary or compulsory for him to observe salah at all, he doesn't see salah as anything to observe. In fact, he was told, the government will arrest you and prosecute you and imprison you and kill you. He said, do what you like. I'll never observe this salah. This is indication that he rejects that this salah is obligatory on him. In that kind of a case, faqad kafara would now mean that he has actually gone out of Islam. So this is how to understand text like this. Because kufrun regarding tarku salah has two meanings. The kufr that does not expel a person from Islam, and the kufr that expels a person from Islam. It is kufr that does not expel a person from Islam if he is still observing it. You ask him, why are you not praying? Hey, subhanallah, please beg Allah for me to pray. Please, 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 and all of this. That person is still a person of Islam. So he is only committing a kabira, serious, major sin. So serious that it is also called kufr. Because it is the people of kufr who don't pray at all. So he's behaving like them. So the second meaning when we refer to kufr on tarku salah is the kufr that actually expels a person out of Islam. And that one would happen when he becomes clearly nonchalant, freeing himself of any kind of an obligation to observe salah, or doing something that indicates that this one has closed his mind that salah is compulsory on him at all, and he actually sees it like that, then it is the kufr that expels a person from Islam. So when you say man taraka salah faqad kafara, it can mean two things. Man taraka salah, because if he leaves zuhur, taraka salah. If he leaves asr, taraka salah. But all does not have one single ruling. If he leaves salah out of laziness or the like of that, I'm busy, giving useless excuses, of course, that are not acceptable. That makes him observe salah at the wrong time. He's still a Muslim, but it is called kufur because it is the people of kufur who don't observe salah at their time. That's why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna bayna rajuli wa bayna shirki tarka salat. The gap between the people of Iman and the people of Kufr. So he's behaving like them. So that's why that sin is called Kufr too. I hope that we understand. So when we say man taraka salata faqad kafara, it can mean two things, depending on the condition of the person that is involved. May Almighty Allah protect us from this evil. This expression from Ibrahim ibn Yazid in al-Nakhi, it occurs in the book At-Tamheed. Kitab al-Tamheed was written by Al-Hafiz ibn Abdul Barri, and it is the Sharh of Muwatta by Al-Imam Malik. This Sharh was compiled by Al-Hafiz ibn Abdul Barri, rahimahumullah. If you read that statement from At-Tamheed, you will understand that what they are saying that is that the one who deliberately abandons salah, he does not think it is compulsory on him. He does not think it is even necessary for him to observe salah. No matter how much he is threatened with imprisonment, with flogging, with killing, he still rejects and says he does not need to observe salah. This kind of a person is a kafir that goes out of Islam. The meaning is that if he dies, we will not observe Salatul Janaza on him. We will not bury him in the maqbara of the people of Islam. And his children who are Muslims will not benefit from his inheritance. That is what it means in this dunya. And in akhirah, it means that يخلد في النار. He will be in Jahannam forever because he's a kafir. And what led him into his kufur is what? Tarkus salat. May Almighty Allah protect us from this evil. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, وَقَالَ أَيُّوبُ أَسْتَخْتِيَانِي مِثْلَ ذَلِكِ. Al-Imam Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani said something similar to that. That what? مَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Whoever abandons salah has definitely committed kufr. May Allah protect us from this evil. Imam al-Zahabi went on in point number 35. He said, وَرَوَى الْجُرَيْرِي عَنْ أَبِّ اللَّهِ بْنِ شَكِيكِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ كَانَ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا يَرَوْنَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ تَرْكُهُ كُفْرٌ غَيْرَ الصَّلَاةِ لَا يَرَوْنَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ تَرْكُهُ كُفْرٌ غَيْرَ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, أخرجه الحاكم في المستدرك وأخرجه الترمذي دون ذكر أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. He said, وروى الجريري. الجريري, that's الإمام سعيد بن إياس الجريري. سعيد بن إياس الجريري. He was a well-known reliable reporter of hadith. رحمه الله. He reports from عبد الله بن شقيق. رضي الله عنه, from amongst the أتباع التابعين, who was reporting from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, that he said that Abu Huraira said, كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يرون شيئا من الأعمال تركه كفر غير الصلاة. Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said that أصحاب رسول الله, كان أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, they would not consider anything. They would not consider the abandonment of anything. لا يرون شيئا من الأعمال تركه كفر. They don't consider any deed being abandoned. Like zakah is a good deed. If you abandon zakah, what does that mean? If you abandon hajj, what does that mean? If you abandon fasting, what does that mean? I am trying to explain this expression. If you abandon salah, what does that mean? This hadith, this report, this hadithun mawkufun an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, it says that the companions la yarawna shay'an min al-a'mal تَرْكُهُ كُفْرٌ. They do not see any deed that when you abandon it, it is kufr. غَيْرَ الصَّلَاةِ, apart from salat. Meaning that from all the deeds, the only deeds that they see that when you abandon it, it is kufr, is salat. So this expression can be understood to mean two things. One understanding is correct. The second understanding is not correct. Or let me say, the scholars have explained it in two forms. One is stronger in its meaning, in its acceptance, than the other. The first thing that some of the scholars have employed to explain this affair is that for all the good deeds, if you leave them, the individual is not committing kufur, except when he leaves salat. So if he leaves zakah, he's not committing kufur. When he leaves hajj, he's not committing kufur. When he leaves fasting, he's not committing kufur. The only time he's committing kufur is when he leaves salah. This understanding of this hadith like this is a wrong understanding. Because the clear thing is that if an individual is actually able to observe fasting, Ramadan, and he leaves fasting in the month of Ramadan without fasting, and he leaves it deliberately because he does not think that fasting is compulsory on him, and it's not ignorant, he lives amongst the Muslims, everybody is fasting, he knows that we're in the month of Ramadan, his rulings are true. If he leaves it, just like Salat, If he leaves it deliberately because he's lazy, we say this is a major sin, kabira min al kabair. But if he leaves it denying that it is even compulsory on him, or that it's even important, why are you telling me don't fast, this, that, he begins to deny the obligation of fasting. This is kufur. It is kufur too. The same thing is zakah. And that was why Abu Bakr and Siddiq fought the people who left zakah in his time. And he said, La ufarriku bayna salati wa zakah. I will not differentiate between salat and zakah. So this does not mean that the only deed that if you abandon it, it can lead to kufur, or it is kufur, is salat. No. It does not. It's only salat. No. There are other deeds too. The same ruling. If you leave Hajj, thinking that Hajj is not compulsory on you, and you have the money, you have everything that it takes to be able to go, you just deliberately say, I can't observe Hajj. Hajj is not compulsory. This, that. Instead of going to Hajj, bring the money, let us share it. Thinking that it is not necessary. It is because it's not necessary, it's not compulsory. We are talking about the first compulsory Hajj, Hajjul Islam, of a person who wants to observe Hajj. The other person begins to tell him that it's not necessary to observe Hajj. And he's a Muslim too. His name is Abdullah. He's telling Abdurrahman he does not need to go for Hajj. What are you doing, Hajj? You are wasting money. Is that by way of meaning that it's not even compulsory at all? This kind of an action is an action of kufur. The kufur that takes a person out of Islam is a completely a sin that expels whoever commits it from Islam. But if it is that he did not go for Hajj out of laziness, oh, let's go for Hajj. Hajj is stressful. What I always hear from her about Hajj is stressful. Or that, oh, in my place of work, they did not give me chance. These that all these kinds of other excuses, they are accepted. Even though the person will be committing a sin, if he has the ability to go for Hajj and he does not go for Hajj, male or female, he has the ability to go but he does not go. He has the power, he has the strength, he has the wealth. If he's a woman, he has a mahram to go with her. And yet, he says, starts beginning to give excuses. It's a major sin. We are talking about Hajjatul Islam, or Hajjul Islam, the first Hajj that a person will perform. If it is Nafila, Al-Mutanafilu Amiru Nafsihi. The one who is observing Nafila has the decision to make by himself, even though one of his decisions may be better than another. But in terms of kufur or no kufur, this one does not come regarding a mutanafil. But the person who is performing Hajj for the first time, or the person who is well, hale and heavy in the month of Ramadan, is not traveling, is not under any illness, is not pregnant, is not breastfeeding, and yet he does not see fasting as any kind of an obligation, it is kufur. But if he's not fasting out of laziness, out of invalid excuses that he considers as excuse, it is from the aspects of kabira min al kabair. It can be called kufur. But the kufur, when that is employed there, it is kufrun, duna kufrin, just to make us understand that it is a serious, major, grievous offense in Islam. So tarkus salat is a deed that is bad. The companions, they don't like it. So perhaps the second meaning for this hadith is that it is the one that most quickly leads to kufur. Leaving salah. Why? Salah is more regular. Hajj is once in a year. Ramadan is once in a year. Zakah is once in a year. But salat is regular. You perform it every day. So it is that only deed that it is so regular that it will quickly show that the person is out of Islam. So this is the meaning for this report. That the deed that when a person abandons, it's quickly, like unlike other deeds, the one that quickly exposes the kufur of a person is leaving salat. Whether that kufur is the kufur that takes a person out of Islam if he agrees the obligation, or the kufur that means that it is from the kaba'ir to show that it's a serious, grievous offense. We said that word kufur can be used in two forms, to show that it's a serious offense or to show that it's an expulsion from Islam. So this hadith, the companions consider leaving salah as the one that is most quickly going to expose a person's disbelief. And that when a person begins to abandon Salah, he quickly, easily goes out of Islam. Allahu alam, this is what other text will show the meaning of this hadith. But to say that this hadith means that the companions don't consider any other deed, like fasting, like zakah, like hajj, that if you ever leave any of these ones, you become a kafir. No. No. Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq fought those who left zakah. He collected the zakah from them. So I will not differentiate between salat and zakah. So they believe that other deeds leaving them can also lead to kufr, depending on the meaning of that living, whether it is the living of laziness, or it is the meaning of what the scholars refer to as al-jahdu. Allahu alam. I hope that that expression is clear. This report we have read from Abu Huraira, al-Imam al-Zahabi said, akhrajahu al-Hakim fil Mustadrak. Al-Imam Hakim collected it in al-Mustadrak. Wa akhrajahu al-Tirmidhi duna dhikri Abi Huraira. And that Abu Imam al-Tirmidhi reported it without mentioning Abu Huraira. And that is what is correct. The Athar occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi correctly, soundly, without mentioning Abu Huraira, to say that kana ashabu Rasulillah, from the statement of Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, not from the statement of Abu Huraira. This is what is correct. So this statement was not a statement of Abu Huraira. The statement of Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. That is what is correct, as it occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Wa qala ibn Hazm, al-Imam Abu Muhammad ibn al-Wazir, rahimahullah, he is also called Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi. He said, la dhanba ba'da shirki a'azamu min tarki salah. La dhanba ba'da shirk. There is no sin after shirk, after someone joins partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping other than Allah, directing dua to other than Allah, seeking protection from other than Allah, and all of these. La dhanba ba'da shirki a'azamu min tarki salah. There is no sin that is as grievous in the sight of Allah after shirk than tarku salah, abandoning salah. So Ibn Hazm considers the second worst thing to be what? Tarku salah. After what? Ash-shirk. May Allah protect us. Hatta yakhruja waqtuha. So the person leaves the salah until the time goes away. It's a very serious sin. You leave Fajr until the Fajr time goes away. You are there, you are awake, pressing your phone. And they are calling the adhan as-salatu khayru min an-nawm. Hayya ala salah, and you stay, you are there, you did not go out for Salatul Fajr. Likewise for Salatul Zuhur, you are pressing your phone, you are browsing, oh young man, oh young woman. This is a grievous thing you are committing. You are becoming a criminal with this kind of an act. Sometimes it is buying and selling. People are selling, they are buying, they want to buy. I have a customer, I want to attend to a customer. That is the reason why you can't attend to your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are busy attending to a customer is the reason you can't attend to Allah. Go. You should understand that after shirk, the worst thing is the sin that you are committing. This is the statement of Ibn Abbas. He says, waqatli mu'minin bighayri haqqin. What comes together with salah or after salah? It's qatlul mu'min, killing a person of iman, committing murder. Be very hacking without due process. May Allah protect all of us from this evil. So Al-Imam Ibn Hazm makes us, all of these that Al-Zahabi had cited to us is to make us understand that Tarku Salati Kabiratun min al-Kabair. Abandoning the Salah is from the Kabair. Don't abandon Salah. Don't abandon Salah. Establish your Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said to us, he said, hafizu ala salawat, preserve your salah. So don't be someone who is disobedient to Allah. Allah repeatedly tells us in the Quran, akimus salah, akimus salah. So, Ikhwa, let us establish our prayers. Two ways. Observe the Salah correctly. Observe the Salah at its time. Observe your Salah correctly. Observe your Salah at its time. May Allah protect us from the evil of abandoning Salah. It can lead to the kufr that expels a person from Islam more easily than any other thing. May Allah protect us. Aba Abdurrahman, Aba Yusuf. Ikhwa, can we hear me?
نعم شيخنا أحسن الله عليكم جزاكم الله خير.
أمين وإياكم أبو عامر هاوي.
الحمد لله سلام.
نعم.
نعم. And the first question reads: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله شيخنا. May Allah forgive you. Please, in case one gets married to a woman whose father falls under those that pray occasionally, will the nikah be considered valid?
Yes, the nikah is valid. Those people who pray occasionally are committing serious crimes, because not to pray regularly is a crime. That is the tarku salah. The first part of it that we have been talking about is a big crime before Allah for an individual not to pray regularly, not to make ruku, go on sujood regularly. And you are breathing Allah's air regularly. You are eating Allah's food regularly. Allah is making you sleep regularly. Allah is making you urinate regularly. Allah allows your heart to work regularly. But you have regularly refused to observe Salah to Allah regularly. It's a crime, it's a big offense. That is what we have been talking about. Allah curses people like that. It's for wailun lil musallin. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Those who are nonchalant, non-careful, they don't care about the Salah. They do as they like with the Salah. This is not proper at all. But like we said, if it is still like this, you ask him, why are you not praying? Say, oh, it's laziness, it's this, it's that. Isn't Salah compulsory? Salah is compulsory, I'm just lazy. He starts giving excuses. This kind of a person is still a Muslim. He can marry out his daughter, and the daughter is validly married out to the husband. So there's no problem with that. Amen. Abu Amir, are you there?
Naam, Shaykhana. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Ameen, ameen.
Naam, the next question reads, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. May Allah preserve you from goodness.
Ameen wa iyyakum.
I have a colleague who identifies as a Muslim, but hardly prays with us in the office, but must within office premises. Attempts to discuss the matter with him have led to serious altercations, although colleagues have concluded that he has become a Christian. He has a Christian wife, but he has not come out openly to express that. How do we deal with him?
Allahu alam. If he is not observing Salah completely, if he's not observing Salah completely and he rejects that Salat is compulsory, that is the kufur that expels a person from Islam. What if he's just being lazy or the pressure of work? He thinks it's an excuse for him not to pray at his time. He is still a person of Islam, although he's close to getting out of Islam. That he has a Christian wife is not the issue here. It is he himself and how he handles his salah that will place the emphasis on. That is as far as he is concerned. We will not say he is a kafir, relating with him as a kafir. if he did not tell us that he's a kafir, and we have not seen that he is not praying with us because he thinks that salat is not necessary, or that salat is not even an obligation. If he is like this, he's still a Muslim. So we'll be encouraging him to pray. We'll not leave him. We'll be relating with him, encouraging him, talking to him in a nice manner, not make a jest of him. You know, try to be close to him, encourage him, things that will encourage him to observe salah. Yes, sometimes if it requires that we say some tough statements of warning, it may be useful. Sometimes if we give some tough statements of warning regarding Allah, if you die like this, Allah will punish you in Jahannam forever. I remember saying that to a brother while I was in the higher institution in 1996. In 1996, I have a very young brother, very young. He was far my junior in university. The brother has died now, may Allah forgive him. He died as a Muslim from the people of the Sunnah. There was a brother who was near him when he died. He told that brother to call me and tell me what happened to him later in life. He died in the US. He died of cancer. It was said that when he was dying, he was making a lot of shahada. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah, before he died. Now let me tell us something that happened between myself and this brother. He had a girlfriend in the department, and that girl was a Christian. Because he wanted the girl, he started to go to a church. This brother was a muadhin. He was calling adhan for me. I was the imam of the masjid. He was calling the adhan. I'm saying this now because his matter ended upon goodness. He returned to Islam. He told the people to tell me what happened to him later in life and how he has died. The day he died, the brothers called me to tell me. So he followed that guy. He was going to a church. I heard about it. I did not care. The rest of his friends who were also younger to me, maybe some of them are hearing me now. They were abusing him, they were fighting him, they were quarreling with him, I didn't say anything. Whenever he saw me, he avoided me. Until the day we met face to face. I called him by his name. I said, is it true that you have become a kafir? He couldn't answer. I said, I'm sorry for you. If it is true that you have become a kafir, do you remember that you were born in Jahannam forever? Because of this girl you are following about. That's why you left Allah and His Messenger. You want to replace that temporary enjoyment with that girl for everlasting punishment of Jahannam. So after that time, if he saw me, he greeted me. I answered when I like. When I didn't like, I didn't answer. But I wasn't so free with him. I just make sure that statement registered in his mind. Ikhwa, that was the statement he remembered and returned to Islam. When he traveled to the US, he told a brother that statement continued to haunt him. He left university as a Christian until he got to the US. He returned to Islam, became a brother. He grew beard. He grew, became a person of Sunnah. He died of cancer. But the brothers who were with him said, till he died, he was saying Kalima to Shahada. The point here is that sometimes when we say tough statements, but be sensible and intelligent about it. Say it in a way that it will register in his mind, and he will not consider it as insult or abuse. He will see it as a warning from someone who loves him. It will register in his mind. And anytime Shaitan seeks to deceive him, that statement will come, hey, Jahannam, because he will know that it is the truth. So we can employ this kind of approach to that kind of a brother. Maybe Allah will make it a means of his return properly to Islam, irrespective of the position of his wife at home. I hope that this is clear, inshallah. Abu Amr.
I'm Jaykhun. Jazakumullah khair. Wa ahsanullah alaykum.
Amin wa iyyak.
Now, the next question reads, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Please, what is the ruling about a man that refuses to pray at the masjid but always prays at home at his convenience?
There are two positions, two issues here. The first issue is he prays at home. Does he pray well? Does he pray at its time? If he prays well, correctly, and he prays at its time, the only thing he's guilty of is Salatul Jama'ah. And these are three different things: praying well, praying at its time, then coming to the masjid with the rest of the Muslims in the masjid of the community. So these are three different things. So if he is praying well and at the time of Salah correctly, then he's not guilty of what we are talking about. If he's praying well and correctly, he's not guilty of Tarkus Salah. He's observing Salah. Yuhafizu ala Salati. He's making Muhafadu ala Salah. But he's guilty of not observing Salah in Jama'ah. That one is also something that he has to take care of, because some of the scholars have also told us that observing the Salah in the masjid of the community in Jama'ah is also from the obligations of Salah. From the obligations of Salah, that you come to the masjid of the community to observe Salah. Except perhaps in the kinds of houses that we have now. You find in an area no masjid that you can call the masjid of the community. Every person just chooses a room or a part of his house for Salah. He calls it masjid. So individuals, families, they can choose to say, okay, we'll be observing our Salahs together. Where? Here. They'll be observing their Salahs there. Others can feel, oh no, you don't have a right to say we should come to your house to observe the Salah and things like this. A better thing is that that kind of a committee should evolve a masjid for the community. Not just observing the Salah in the house of one of them, or to observe the Salah together in the masjid of the community. Except that after that sitting, let us observe a community masjid. It happens that the house of one of them is that place. Okay, we can make a community masjid here. Then it becomes binding on all of them to be going to observe that Salah in that masjid. I hope that it is clear.
Ram Shaykh Sunnah, so what about it?
I mean, can we call it a day today, Abu Abdul Rahman?
Ram Shaykh Sunnah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen, ameen, wa iyaakum, abaan.